Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, another episode, another day, another show, and we're all about making the world a better place. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your accolades. Thanks for your good thoughts. Thanks for your all your nice sayings and greetings and stuff like that. You can always find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. Other social websites, you can find me. I'm everywhere, just about. And it's fun. All of it's fun. I try to make it fun. We have no guests for today. Somehow somebody screwed up and didn't book anyone. But 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. And it is cold in Chicago. Well, it feels cold. It's not quite that cold. But when you're used to 80s and 90s, and suddenly it drops down to 50s and 60s. That seems like it's cold because everybody has to grab a jacket or a sweater or something. And especially when it's cold and raining and gray, maybe cloudy at the same time. So it's it's something else in the city of Chicago. But I want to say I hope it's fine and sunny and bright where you are. And, you know, and you're taking it easy, taking care of yourself and all that kind of thing. And so you can be around for a long time, no doubt about it. All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. The category is politics. Even though the show says politics, I know I'm open for anything anybody want to talk about, any guests, whatever you want, as long as it's geared toward to making someone's life a lot better. As long as it's geared toward making your life better, I don't care what you talk about. You can talk about anything you want. I mean, it's just free fall. And one of the things about my guests, when I book guests on my show, I don't hand my guest or I don't email them. A lot of paperwork in order to be on the show. I think it's ridiculous. A lot of talk show hosts do that. Paperwork. I said, no. Just show me your website, your blog. Show me that you're legitimate and you're on the show. Depends on what you're having to talk about an offer. I just don't feel like that's all that is necessary. Now, that's just me. That's just my opinion. That's the way I do things. I'm not saying for other radio show, talk show host to do anything differently that they've already done. I'm just saying I don't do that. I don't submit and ask guests to submit a lot of information on a form. I'm not good at record keeping. I'm not good at filing. I'm good at all of that, but I just don't have time to do that. And you come on, you say what you got to say, you're off. That's it. You know, that's the George Wilder Jr. Show. One of Chicago's finest, if not the finest radio talk show in Chicago. And I'm hoping around the world, not just America, but around the world. So, I mean, if you have a product you want to push or something you want to talk about or just giving my audience something that they can use, because you know that's what it's all about. That's the way it was when I was young. When I was 17, 18, it was all about gaining knowledge, knowing things. I mean, when I would buy books, go to the bookstore, I wouldn't buy fiction. I would buy nonfiction. I would buy books that would tell me something, teach me something, show me something. Fiction was okay. You know, it's all right. But when you're out there struggling and you need to know as much as you can, and there's nobody around you, there's no schools you can go to, there's nobody anywhere near you that can inform you, the best place to go is books, magazines, if you want to, because that's where I went, you know, and I finally got back in school. So, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's all good. It's all good. So if you want to, I tell my son the same thing. I say, the more you know, the further you're going to go. The smarter you are, the more, the better things that are going to happen, you know. So, you know, and I think that's for everybody, you know. And it's always true that knowledge is power. That is no lie. That the more you know, the further you would go, especially when you put your, especially when you put a lot of effort into it. Go out and do things. Go out and make things happen. You know, that's the only way you're going to make it in the world. You got to go out and make things happen. Don't just sit back and laying in the bed or on the couch or hanging around the neighborhood or hanging around the house. Nothing's going to come to you that way, at least nothing positive. You know, you got to get out there and make a positive. You want something positive to happen, get out there and do something positive. Do not wait for somebody to knock on your door and give you something. Go out there and get what you want legally. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the talk of our times, making the world a better place, one show at a time. It is something right here in front of me. It's saying that it's about Donald Trump. What can I say? Now he's thinking that the debate was rigged. If it doesn't go Donald Trump's way, somebody cheated. You know, he said the debate was rigged, right? Oh, man, this guy is something else. Two or three days after the debate, now he's saying it's rigged because everybody in the world is saying that he lost and he looked like a bully and he was a blowhard and he interrupted Hillary Clinton over 30 times. He's trying to go after Hillary's husband. And Donald is also saying that he's going to hit in the next debate, October 9th, he's going to hit Hillary a lot harder than he hit her in the he hit her verbally in the first debate. Okay, yeah, all right. He's going to hit her harder, he says. Yeah, he's going to hit her harder with more lies. He's going to hit her harder with more interruptions. He's going to be a really, really awful person. In the next debate, instead of him learning from the first debate, Trump is going to go and double down on what he did in the first debate to cause him to lose that debate. So he's gonna do the same thing, if not worse, in the second debate. The guy's gonna lose the election. you know, but there's always that possibility that he could win. But my thing is he's going to lose, not because of he's not going to lose because he's a Republican. He's going to lose because he's Donald Trump. He's Donald Trump. He's not going to lose because Hillary is all that, you know, she's all that presidential. No way. Hillary is untrustworthy. She's a liar. She spins. Her and Bill, you know, some people have a hard time swallowing it. So do I. But there's no doubt about it. Like I said yesterday on the show, we just put our nose and vote and vote and vote and keep voting. So he thinks that the debate is rigged. And he also, I guess he's also believing now the first debate. And I'm reading right here where I don't know if this is true. I don't know if any of this is true. I'm looking at the Huffington Post and I'm reiterating what they're saying. And basically, Trump allegedly from the Huffington Post, is telling the people around him in his circle, the people who work for him, everybody, to say that he won a debate. To say that's totally unbelievable. But you know what? Being Donald Trump, it's not that far-fetched. He's telling his people to say that he won the debate. Now that's a little bit far-fetched. Okay. So All right. It's far-fetched. All right, it's 6:10 p.m. in Chicago. The days are totally short and getting shorter. And it's just phenomenal to see the days, end so soon, kind of speak. And when you're so used to the bright sunshine during this time, and we just got to make those changes, I guess. All right, too loud. Okay, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump on Thursday complained that he received an unfair treatment from NBC News anchor Lester Holt. That's something. A day after the debate, he said Lester was fine. He said it was great. He said Lester was a great host. And, you know, now he's saying that he received unfair treatment. That's a lie. He ran roughshod over Lester Holt. Lester Holt, if you don't know, he's a news anchor. He was the moderator. He was the African-American guy sitting at the desk asking the questions, supposedly asking the questions of both presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, for the first debate. And a lot of us who watched the debate, 80 million plus people, you know, and now Donald Trump is saying he's always changing his tune. This guy is too temperamental. I didn't want to use this word because so many other media outlets were using the word temperamental, but this guy totally is. He gets angry. He gets pissed off if he doesn't win. He's got to win. Donald Trump has to be Donald Trump. He's going to screw up, F up this next debate, just like he did the first one. And then he's going to go out and tell his people around him to say he won when he actually lost, as he's done during his first debate. Lester Holt is the guy who anchors the nightly news every night. World News or what is it? On Channel 5, 5:30, at least Chicago time, 5:30. And in the evening. And everybody was saying after the debate that Donald Trump disrespected Lester Holt, which he did. Lester Holt lost control of that. He lost control of the debate as a moderator. And Donald Trump came out just about the next day or either later on that evening and said that Lester Holt did a fine job. Suddenly, three or four days from that debate, when he finds out that he lost the debate to Hillary Clinton, he now says that Lester gave him unfair treatment. That's a total bogus lie. Lester did not give him unfair treatment. That's a lie. And if anybody who's watching that they know that is a lie. Of course, Donald Trump supporters, they are going to agree with this guy. Okay, who moderated the presidential debate in New York on Monday. During the debate the other night, okay, I guess this is a quote by Trump. During the debate the other night, I had to put up with an anchor and fight the anchor all the time on everything I said. No, he did not. He would not let Lester get one word out, one question to ask. He did not. Trump said at a campaign rally in New Hampshire, what a rigged deal. He's pissed off because he lost. He lost. Hillary won. The world saying Hillary won and that he lost. He's not doing anything for people to want to vote for him. I would think that a lot of people would just abandon Donald Trump because he's just such an ass. This guy is totally, totally an ass. And I want to say something that Bruce Springsteen, if anybody know Bruce Springsteen, he's a rock and roll king. They call him Boss. He's been around for 40, 45 years. He's celebrating his birthday. He's 67 years old. Wow. And he's still out there rocking and rolling. Well, Bruce Springsteen, and I have some of his music around here someplace. Bruce Springsteen tweeted, and he tweeted that Donald Trump is a moron. This is what he tweeted. He tweeted. That Donald Trump is a moron. Obviously, some people didn't like that Bruce Springsteen tweeted that Donald Trump was a moron. So he got a lot of blowback from that. He's got a lot of negative feedback from saying Donald Trump is a moron. So Bruce Springsteen retweeted it again, and this is what he said, and I quote, some people out there are really, well, mad at me, angry at me, because I called Donald Trump I tweeted that Donald Trump is a moron. Then he goes on to say, let me clarify this. Let me clarify what I said. Donald Trump is also an asshole. Okay. Bruce Springsteen doubled down on on the moron comment. And he didn't give a damn what other people were thinking or what other people thought. He does not like Donald Trump. And I'm thinking a lot of people are going to be turned off from him trying to blame Lester Holt for losing the debate to Hillary Clinton. That's crazy. When just a day after the debate, he was praising Lester Holt. But I guess it really did set in on him that he actually lost the debate. So he looked around for somebody to blame. And Lester Holt was easy pickings for him to blame for losing the debate. Donald Trump lost that debate on his own. He lost that debate. We saw it was one of the worst debates I think I've ever seen. I've never seen a debate like that. One of the worst ones in world history, in the universe. And he's trying to blame Lester Holt. During the debate, Holt pressed Trump over a number of issues which he didn't answer, including his support for the Iraq war and the years he spent pushing a debunked conspiracy about President Obama's birthplace. But even when a CNN reporter asked Trump about Holt's performance immediately after the debate on Monday, Trump gave the veteran, he said some nice things about Lester Holt. And suddenly, all of a sudden, he can't stand Lester Holt. This is Trump. The GOP nominee impression of Holt gradually degraded over the next several days because he was sure that he lost the debate. However, amid numerous polls showing him losing the matchup against Hillary, that's what happened. Trump also appeared to be angry with a number of his campaign aides who fretted anonymously in an article published by the New York Times about his unwillingness to prepare for the debate. You know, so I mean, all of this is just Trump's fault. And then, you know, he's to blame for his situation. He's to blame for this loss. He did not prepare for the debate. He did not prepare. He did not rehearse. He did not go over anything with the debate. And he can just blame himself for that. But yet he is Donald Trump. So he's reaching out to blame and fault other people for his shortcomings. And that's totally, totally wrong. This guy deserves everything that he gets. And now I'm hearing that I don't know if he's doing it now, according to the Huffington Post, that he was telling everybody in his circle, most people who work for him around him, to say that he won. Sean Hannity from Fox News was saying that he won, and he got his ass handed to him because Sean Hannity was citing unscientific polling that showed Donald Trump won the election. But the real and authentic polls showed that Hillary won. 67% of the American people said Hillary won. And I watched the debate also, and totally Hillary Clinton wiped the floor with this guy. She wiped the floor with this guy. And apparently he does not like that. Trump is totally pissed off, and he's going to come back with a vengeance in the next debate. A lot of us was afraid that he was going to try and skip those last two debates because he felt that he just wasn't being treated right when he was treated more kindly and softly than a lot of other presidential candidates. Trump is just Trump. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And you can't say anything else about it. The man is who he is. An ass. A total ass. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And it's been fun, folks. It's always fun when you're tuning in and listening to the show. Let's see what we can do here. Like I said before, we don't have any guests. Somehow we screwed up and didn't book anybody. But that's okay. 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
not to applaud tricks from the poli-sci-fi movie The Manchurian Candidate too loudly, but anybody notice that days later we aren't debating whether or not Trump supporters are deplorable? Every few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country. To defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters. And we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own, the most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, I will never lie to you, who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering child care to his employees when it was child care for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of five Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia, who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in two tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the Pulse nightclub, who congratulated himself after the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, who congratulated himself on predicting Brexit, even though 3 weeks earlier he had never heard of Brexit, who congratulated himself on Republican convention TV ratings, even though those for his closing speech were lower than John McCain's, who congratulated himself by...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. Early voting, or I'm going to say something about early voting. Early voting just started in the city of Chicago, and I'm pretty sure it started some other places around America, and that's a good thing because basically early voting benefits Democrats. That's what early voting, and I'm pretty sure Donald Trump is quaking in his boots right now because he knows and he's been told that early voting benefits Democrats. And I'm not saying that everybody out there who are going to early vote will vote for a Democrat, basically Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying traditionally, early voting has been a benefactory for Democrats. And I said yesterday on the show that that's some people in the city of Chicago and Illinois, they're trying to suppress the vote. They're trying to keep people in Chicago and Illinois from voting. Republicans, a Republican judge, signed a law in so many ways. This law is saying, and this is not just me, this is community leaders and politicians around the state and around the city, and also myself, saying that this is a travesty. And they're filing suit to try to stop this law from going into effect. So they're trying to say, if I understand it, it's going to be, they're trying to say people can register and vote on the same day. That doesn't sound right. And that isn't right. I mean, there's going to be all kind of complications for that. And there's more details on this matter. But the fact is that they're trying to suppress the vote in the city of Chicago. In other words, they don't want you to vote. They don't want you to vote because they know if you vote, they will not get in office. And I've said this 1,000 times before on the show. If you don't vote, that's a vote for a Republican. And this is why so many Republicans are trying to deny the vote. I don't know why people even go out and vote Republican. But most of these guys and girls try to deny the vote and come up with all kind of excuses and cute way of saying things and trying to disenfranchise you. And the thing about it, so many people vote for Republicans not knowing that Republicans are going to give them the shaft. Some people say it's voting against your own interest of vote or voting blindly because you hate Democrats. So you're going to vote for a Democrat. Are you going to vote for a Republican because you can't stand a Democrat? When it's the Republicans that are going to take away your Social Security, your Medicaid, your Medicare. This is what Republicans are going to do because they've been trying to do it for years, even with the help of Obama. So early voting starts today in many, many cities. And I hope a lot of people around you, around America, the United States, take advantage of that. Take advantage of it. I mean, early voting, whether you're voting for a Democrat or whether you're voting for a Republican or you're voting for the Green Party, the Blue Party, or whatever party, the idea is to vote. Exercise your right. Even Hillary Clinton is saying that. Vote, vote, vote. She's not saying, one of the things I like about Hillary, and I don't like many things, but I like that she's saying, go out and vote. She's not saying, vote for me, like Trump. She's saying, go out and vote, period. And that's what I'm saying. Go out and vote. Don't let your religion get in the way. Don't let your deep-seated beliefs get in the way, because if this country goes to Trump, then it goes, I mean, life as you know it will be over, because, I mean, you can tell by the way this guy acts at a debate, at his rallies, the things he says, the violence he incites, what he says about women. This is Trump, and this kind of talk and this kind of thing was continually to be espoused on by Donald Trump, because this is what he is, and his supporters like that. Well, they like the fact that, the fact that he's a straight talker and he says things, and a lot of the people that are interviewed and they try to tell you what they like about Trump. It's ridiculous. Some of these people are just boneheaded. You know, they can't even, they don't know what the hell they believe. They just blurting out something. You know, they're not intelligent. They're not bright, but they're cute. They look good. They're pretty. They're handsome, but they don't have a brain in their head. Some of them. Okay. And early voting. And I know that the Republicans, they do not want you to vote. The early voting is like I said, they're going to be quaking in their boots because they know that early voting traditionally have favored Democrats traditionally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing because it starts today in some cities, and I think it's going to end November 2nd or 3rd, something to that. We got to get some more information on that. But anyway, early voting starts today in some cities, and wherever it starts, whatever time and date it starts in your town, make sure you get out there and vote. It doesn't matter whether you're voting Democrat, Republican, Independent, Blue Party, Libertarian, or whatever. Just vote. Vote, because this was the first day of voting in the city of Chicago. And I'm going to tell you something. Those polls, they were crowded. The people just poured into those polling places. I mean, this was the first day, and it was like almost packed with people, with voters. This tells you that voters are excited. They are excited about this election, and they know that this election is important, very important. You're either going to have Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And right now, Hillary Clinton is leading Donald Trump because it seems like every newspaper, majority of the newspapers, they're supporting her. They've seen Donald Trump's performance at the debate and they didn't like it. Even some Republicans are criticizing his performance at this first debate. And he says he's going to be a lot worse at the second one. So we're going to be tuning in October 9th to see Donald Trump once again make an ass of himself. And I know there's people out there saying that they don't like Donald Trump nor Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton knows this. This is why she's campaigning with Bernie Sanders, hoping to try to get some of Bernie Sanders' supporters to change their mind about her and elect her. I don't know. Some people are saying that they're going to write Bernie Sanders' name in at the polling place or someone else's name, you know. But at this point, it's Hillary. You know, it is totally Hillary. And Trump is totally pissed off. He's angry. He's mad. He's upset. He says he's going to hit her harder. These are his words from this publication. And hitting her harder means, to me, I decipher that to mean that he's going to be more obnoxious, much more of a bully, much more of an asshole. You know, this is Donald Trump, and he's going to, you know, lose a lot more support. There's a lot of people out there supporting Donald Trump. I don't understand that, but, you know, there's a lot of haters out there. There's racists. There's people who just aren't intelligent. They don't know. They have no sense of what being logical means. And they're out there. I was surprised at how many young people out here who are not as knowledgeable as I thought they were. Even some of these college and university students, they're not as knowledgeable as we think they are, just because they're going to these, you know, high and expensive schools. You know, some of them don't know their asses from a hole in the ground and supporting Trump. And not only Trump, but some of them don't know their asses from a hole in the ground and supporting Hillary Clinton. You know, so, but don't get me wrong. There's a lot of bright people out here. There's a lot of intelligent, level-headed people, but we got too many people out here who think they know everything and they don't know anything. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's all about making the world a better place, and that's what it's all about here on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to say this, too. A deadly train accident in New Jersey, Hoboken, New Jersey, 100 people injured. I think they said one person died, and that's awesome. I mean, that's not awesome in a good way, but awesome in a negative way. Maybe I used the wrong connotation there, but it's not a good thing. My thinking when I first heard this, I'm saying, wow, terrorist. But yeah, it's this deadly, it's all over the news, national news and all that kind of thing. A train accident. Let's hope some of those people who are injured, who are going to make it, they're going to live. And it's just sad. Somehow they're saying that they're questioning the engineer. He may have been going too fast. He may have fell asleep at the wheel or whatever. He may have been on drugs, but they're investigating this tragic accident in New Jersey, Hoboken, New Jersey. It was just a delight to see Chris Christie up there in front of microphones, because he's governor. talking about this incident, this horrible incident. Trying to take your mind off of Bridgegate. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. show. Yeah, it was something. Hillary Clinton makes it clear she knows many world leaders. This guy he's running for president. He's not one of the most popular people in the world. His name is Gary Johnson, and every time he goes on one of these cable television popular news shows, they're always asking him a question which he knows nothing about. He knows nothing, and he's running for president. And this is included. The latest one is when Chris Matthews, at a town hall, it looks like a town hall setting, Chris Matthews asked him to name one world leader, one, he couldn't do it. He could not name not one world leader. He before that, they were asking him, did he know, he didn't, they was talking about Aleppo, and he didn't know what Aleppo was. Aleppo is a city, a Middle Eastern city. And he didn't even know that. And he's running for president of the United States. This is the second time. This guy is not going to be president. No way, no how. But by him making all of these mistakes of not knowing certain areas of the world, and he wants to be president, this is going to help Hillary Clinton. No doubt about it. And Hillary says right here that she knows many world leaders. You know, so this guy is, you might have seen this guy. He's all over the television, but he doesn't know a damn thing. And he wants to be president. He sounds stupider than Donald Trump. And he wants to be president. His name is Larry Johnson. And there's another person. I think she's another person running for president. Jill Stein or Steen or something. She's wanted. She's wanted by the law, too. And you got these people who are running for president. It's if you don't know, it's actually four people running for president. Okay. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein. You hardly ever hear anything from Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. They don't have any part in the debates because their polling numbers are too damn low. They don't qualify for the debates. So every now and then you'll see them on television trying to get some support. And this guy, Gary Johnson, he just cannot seem to answer simple questions that a fifth grader would probably know. Just name one. He was asked to name one leader, one world leader. Get this. He wants to be president. And he could not do it. It was just one of those stupid moments. And he wants to be president. He's going to lose support, the little that he already had. And that support that he loses is probably going to go to Hillary Clinton, which is a good thing. Now, Jill Stein, the next candidate, I heard a few ago that she had a warrant out on her for something, for defacing some property. I don't know how that turned out, but that's not good for her either, if it's true. And I do think it's true because they had video of it. I don't think that's going to work either. So in this race, in this presidential race, which is less than, oh, wow, maybe 4 or 5 weeks from now. And it's in this race, it's the two main characters are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You don't want to say characters. The two main presidential candidates are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I just can't wait to see. I can't wait for the October 9th debate because Trump said he's going to be a lot tougher. Yeah, just going to have to wait to see. This guy is something else. He is something else. Be right back, folks.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me. We'll be right back.
Can we set politics aside for a second and appreciate that history was made last week?
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
We have waited our whole lives to hear a woman say those words and then immediately get criticized for the voice she said them in. Gosh, you boys sure hate your mothers, don't you? Lucky for Democrats, their big shindig followed the four-day blooper reel that was the Republican convention, a poorly attended rage-a-thon featuring a parade of hemorrhoidal has-beens trying to literally scare up votes by making America shit its pants.
Every American should be terrified.
I half expected to close my mirror in the Cleveland Holiday Inn and see Newt Gingrich with a knife. TerrorCon 16 set the bar so low for the Democrats, we couldn't wait to see how they'd trip over it. After all, this is the party that brought us the 2004 classic, Fucked Up Balloon Drop.
Go balloons, go balloons, we need more balloons. All balloons should be going. Come on, guys, let's move it. Jesus, all balloons, where the hell is nothing falling? What the fuck are you guys doing up there?
What a catastrophe. The balloons were a mess, too. So, okay, Democrats, go on now. Your turn to embarrass the nation.
That is the story of this country. The story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn.
I'm not crying. I've just got tears coming out of my wherever. And sure, America's racists lost their shit, forcing multiple news sites to fact check the idea that slavery happened. It did. And when this election is over, we need to have a serious talk about education in this country. While the superdelegates scrambled to switch their votes to Michelle Obama, the DNC proceeded to put on a USA love fest that left us feeling like we just got a national blowjob from the American flag.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great.
Our best days are ahead of us. Americans have never, ever, ever, ever let their country down. Never. Never!
All pledging allegiance under the same proud flag.
The greatest country on this planet.
America, we will rise!
God bless America.
America!
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 I'm not crying. I just have America in my eye. The convention was an unexpected triumph of positive messaging and flawless showmanship. Turns out, the Democrats had this in them all along, and all it took for them to get their shit together was the looming certainty of Armageddon. Bastards! The party of dreamers and immigrants wanted everyone to know they welcome refugees. In particular, refugees from the Republican Party, some of whom are feeling as homeless right now as the working poor they've been shafting for decades.
What we heard in Cleveland last week wasn't particularly Republican. See, my grandparents, they came from the heartland, small town folk. Some were Democrats, but a lot of them, maybe even most of them, were Republicans. Party of Lincoln. That's what happens when you're the kind of citizen Teddy Roosevelt once described. Ronald Reagan called America a shining city on a hill.
Come on, Republicans, who are you going to listen to? Agent Orange or Black Reagan? The entire week was an implicit middle finger to Trump's dystopian view of America, mixed in with some first-class trolling of a certain Law and Order cop humper.
I served as an NYPD officer.
I spent 27 years on the Orlando Police Force.
When I was Philadelphia Police Commissioner.
As a police officer.
Police officers are good people doing a good job.
An attack on a police officer anywhere is an attack on our entire society.
Dad, as all of you now know, liked Police Academy. My mom and I loved Pride and Prejudice.
Damn, Chelsea just plagiarized both the Republican convention themes. But in 4 days of powerful rebukes to Trumpism, the most devastating came from the father of Captain Humayun Khan, who sacrificed his life while saving his fellow soldiers in Iraq.
You have sacrificed nothing, Donald Trump. You're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy.
He means it. He even picked out a copy of the Constitution small enough for Trump to fit in his hand. Now, naturally, America's burst appendix couldn't let that one slide.
If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me.
She was too choked up from seeing her son's picture. Why are you allowed to have anything to say? Now, unlike the bleak, militaristic scowling displayed on stage at the end of the Republican convention, this one ended with a joyful, affectionate celebration, particularly for Bill Clinton, who timed it perfectly so the shrooms were just kicking in. Shrooms far out! So there she is, the official nominee, ready to face her greatest challenger, herself.
The truth is, through all these years of public service, the service part has always come easier to me than the public part.
Well, fortunately, the job of president doesn't have any public part, so you'll be fine. Look, can we get an Obama out here to do the rousing oratory? Sasha, Bo, any of them?
There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
He's right. I wasn't ready. Now, the president's endorsement was echoed by the vice president, the former president, the TV president, senators, governors, athletes, preachers, the working poor, the self-made billionaire, Republicans, and, oh, just for good measure, half the fucking Pentagon standing on stage saying, vote for Hillary if you want to live. That is how good you have to be if you're a woman running for president. And she still might lose to this, the least qualified candidate ever to lurch into the public spotlight and shit on Gold Star moms while cradling Putin's sweaty sack. Let's hope Hillary doesn't get lipstick on her teeth between now and November or it's all over. We'll be right back.
All right, Donald Trump, USA Today, a prominent internet publication, says that Donald Trump is unfit for the presidency. He's unfit to be president. This is USA Today, and this is a prominent paper, a prominent online internet paper, and that I've been a part of for a while. I've been reading it for a while. And they say that Donald Trump is unfit for the presidency, even though his vice president, Mike Pence, says that he's ready to lead. He is unfit. Wow. Let's see what it says. Deepwater Horizon brings Kurt Russell and Kate together. Okay, but we're talking about this. All right. It goes on to say, in the 34-year history of the USA Today, the editorial board has never sighed, has never, oh, wow. You ever try to do something on the internet and all of these ads pop up in front of you? Anyway, the editorial board has never taken sides in the presidential race. We're doing it now, they say. In the 34 history of the USA Today, the editorial board has never taken sides in the presidential race. Instead, we've expressed opinions about major issues and haven't presumed to tell you readers who have a variety of priorities and values, which choice is best for them. In other words, they're saying that they don't tell you how to vote. Okay, you vote. They never told Americans how to vote, but until now, because every presidential race is different. We revisited our endorsement policy every 4 years, and we've never seen reason to alter our approach until now. This year, the choice isn't between two capable major party nominees who happen to have significant ideological differences. This year, one of the candidates, Republican nominee Donald Trump, is by unanimously consensus of the editorial board unfit for presidency. Oh, that's got to that's got to tear Donald Trump hide right open, wide open, to know that this prominent paper says that he's not fit for the presidency. VP, Vice President candidate Mike Pence writes opposing the view on the USA Today editorial board critique of Donald Trump, calling him ready to lead. I figure that ready to lead. He is not ready to lead. Not by a long shot. Not by a long, whether through indifferences or ignorance, Trump has betrayed fundamental commitments made by all presidents since the end of World War II. These commitments include unwavering support for NATO allies, steadfast opposition to Russian aggression, and the absolute certainty that the United States will make good on its debts. He has expressed troubling admiration for authoritative leaders and Vladimir Putin, okay, scant regard for constitutional protections. We've been highly critical of the GOP nominee in a number of previous editorials, with early voting already underway in several states and polls on a close race. Now is the time to spell it out. In one place, the reasons Trump should not be president. He's too erratic. He's ill. He is ill equipped to be command chief. He traffics in prejudice. That means he's racist. His business career is checkered. He isn't leveling with the American people. He speaks recklessly. Wow. He is a serial liar. This is the USA paper saying that Trump is a serial liar. Obviously, the Trump camp doesn't agree with this editorial, this paper, saying that Trump is unfit for president, because Vice President Mike Pence is coming out and he's writing his own op-ed editorial piece, Trump calling him ready to lead. He may be ready to the United States, but not America. Not America. He is a serial liar. Nor does this editorial represent unqualified support for Hillary Clinton. Exactly. You don't, Clinton has her own flaws. I've said this a million times. Hers are far less likely to threaten national security or lead to a constitutional crisis. Yes, she has her own flaws, but she's nowhere near as dangerous and as absurd as Donald Trump. This is why I was saying at the beginning of the show, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for her. I'm not telling you who you to vote for, but Donald Trump is totally not fit. I mean, Hillary Clinton has gotten the endorsement of major newspapers around America. Donald Trump hasn't any. Maybe he has one or two, but that's it. Hillary has four or five, maybe six or seven, or maybe more. But anyway, I know she's out. Her endorsements have out endorsed Donald Trump. And early voting benefits Democrats. That's no doubt about it. Early voting benefits Democrats. I think Donald Trump will not be president. With all this negativity surrounding Donald Trump and his temperament and the way he is and the type of person that he is, this man could still wind up being president. You can criticize Donald this about him. You can say that. He could still wind up president of the United States. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Even with all of his flaws, and there are many. This is why I say people go there and vote. Vote. You are going to feel it. You know, I mean, there are some people out here, well, voting doesn't affect me. Politicians doesn't affect me. It affects you. Tax bill. That's politics. It affects you. Your paycheck. It affects you. So get out. If you want to criticize your government, or if you say nice things about your government, you have to vote. Have that. And like I've said before, this is the first day for early voting in the city of Chicago. The polling places were with people who are enthusiastic about casting their vote, regardless of who they're going to vote for. But Chicago, Democratic City, the state of Illinois is totally Democratic. This, the fact that we have a Republican governor who is a failed in his ass next time. But anyway, get out there and vote. Whatever you do, vote. You know, I mean, you know, in my estimation, Barack Obama has been a disappointment. I know a lot of you out there is going to disagree with me, but that's the way it is with me. I can run down a litany of reasons to why I think that. But that'll be another time for another show. Right now, we need to get people out to vote and try to take this country back. And I've said this a thousand times, too. If you're going to vote for a Democratic president, let's say Hillary Clinton, let's say you're going to vote for Hillary, you also have to vote a Democratic representative and a senator. You have to make Congress, you have to put Congress in the Democratic hands, or there will nothing will be done. And she has a Republican Congress. She's going to get anything done. Just Obama was just overrode by the Republicans. Hillary Clinton will be overrode by Republicans. There will be nothing but gridlock. More gridlock. Gridlock. Nothing will get done. Your president, but she will not be able to do anything. She will have her Congress, but that only so far. She's going to need to get things done legislatively. And I know what you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Obama's he's been stifled issues. Republicans have stopped a lot of things. A whole host of and then there's some things Obama just didn't want to do himself. But basically Obama is becoming focus on Hillary and Donald Trump. These are the two we should be focusing on, because this is going historical. Whether it's Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, folks, this is going to be an historical election. And I have a feeling that there is going to be a landslide. Either a landslide against Hillary or a landslide against Donald Trump. Because people, from the looks of that polling place in Chicago that I was seeing, people are in to vote. They're getting out to vote. It's going to be a landslide. People are going to be voting in droves. And that's a good thing. And a lot of people feel that that's going to benefit Democrats. People are voting for Trump. It just means that they're pissed off and tired and they're angry. They're upset. white supremacists, racists. I'm not saying everybody in Trump's. I'm not saying that everybody in Trump's corner is a racist. Majority of them are. I mean, factual, And Hillary Clinton once called them deplorable. She's right. A lot of them are. And I'm like one of my colleagues. I wish she hadn't changed her mind. Totally right. A lot of us in some of the greatest publications in the world agree with her, but she went back on that. She shouldn't have, because she was right. A lot of the Donald Trump supporters are deplorable. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. Be on Facebook. Join me. I'm going to lose a lot of friends over that. Join me on Facebook, join me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm all over the place trying to get the message out that this show is all about making the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. And that's what it doesn't matter what the issue is. As long as the issue is about being better, being able to better yourself, better your life. That's what this is all about. Nothing else. All right.
Author, okay. Radio host, and MSNBC political analyst. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Let me play you something that Republican vice presidential candidate said about Republican criticisms of Trump when it comes to foreign policy. Take a listen.
You know, I'm old enough to remember a president that you covered a few years back who, when he was running for president,
does Hillary Clinton try to defend herself on this now? Granted, she said she misspoke or she regrets saying that it was half of his supporters, but she hasn't backed away from the label itself, deplorable. Yeah.
Not to applaud tricks from the poli-sci-fi movie The Manchurian Candidate too loudly, but anybody notice that days later we aren't debating whether or not Trump supporters are deplorable? We're debating how...
In the Impact segment tonight, out of control violence in Chicago. The crisis gaining new attention after the senseless murder of Nikia Aldridge, the cousin of NBA star Dwayne Wade, over the weekend.
Her life was cut short by gunfire from two convicted felons who were both out on parole, one of whom was on his daily break from an electronic monitoring bracelet. This reprehensible act of violence is the example of why we need to change the way we treat habitual offenders in the city of Chicago. When will enough be enough?
So far this year, murders in Chicago are up an astounding 49% compared to the same period in 2015, intensifying criticism of the Democratic policies that have long governed that city. Joining us now with reaction from Chicago, Hermine Hartman, publisher of Indigo Magazine, and from Washington, Crystal Wright, author of the book Con Job, How Democrats Gave Us Crime, Sanctuary Cities, Abortion Profiteering, and Racial Division. We'll start with you, Ms. Hartman. You heard Superintendent Johnson saying murders up 49% over 2015, which was a high year as well. And then we go on to talk about the senseless murder of Nikia Aldridge, Dwayne Wade's cousin. What's happening in Chicago?
We're out of control. We had 57 shootings in the last 3 days. We are absolutely out of control. I don't think, however, that we can blame it on a party. As you just heard the superintendent say, that was a young man who was out of jail, who probably should not have been out of jail, and was on a break, and he killed somebody. I don't think we can put it on a party. I think you have to put it on the person. Indeed, there is a system
Ms. Hartman,
here, or something here.
If you look what's going on in the minority communities in the inner cities, poverty is soaring, wages are stagnant and falling, and victims, African Americans are overwhelmingly the victims of crime in these cities. And these cities, Chicago, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Newark,
Milwaukee,
they're Democrat-run cities. In some instances, 50 years of Democrat-run.
Well, I think that is an issue. I think we are given our vote to the Democrats, and we're not leveraging our vote, asking for something. But I also think there's some media responsibility here. Donald Trump last week said that he talked to someone in the police department in Chicago and that they could solve this problem within a week, the crime problem in Chicago in a week. If that is true, that needs to come forth, not so much the person who said it, but what is the solution? What America needs is a Marshall Plan for the inner city, for Black America, to solve some of these problems. We need to stop analyzing these problems. We need some solutions to these problems.
Okay, Ms. Wright, do you agree? I mean, I guess Ms. Hartman's talking about a bigger plan, a more more centrally, federally administered plan. I don't know. It looks like the Democrats have run some of these cities into the ground.
You know, Eric, I spent the bulk of last year writing my book, Con Job. And the last thing Black people need and America needs is another plan. What Black people need to do is stop voting for the Democrat Party. And I think Ms. Hartman, she alluded to that. But the reality is, as you point out, Chicago has a predominantly Black city like Baltimore. We've been seeing this Black-on-Black genocide for decades. This isn't anything new, and it's been raging under the first Black president. Did you know that in Baltimore, the last time Baltimore has had a Republican mayor was 1967. Same thing with Detroit. You know, we look at these cities. They're run by Democrats. Democrats, every 4 years, they take the black vote for granted. They tell blacks lies in exchange for votes. They don't fix the problems of poverty, of crime, high unemployment, low education rates, and blacks just keep voting for them.
All right, let me pose the question that Crystal Wright just said. Do Democrats take the black vote for granted?
Yes, and they take it for granted because we give them the vote. We don't leverage the vote. We don't get anything for the vote. We don't negotiate the vote. We don't discuss the vote.
Right, so
we just keep voting the same way over and over and over again.
Right, so this is not Donald Trump's problem. Donald Trump is making the case.
It's everybody's problem.
Well, let me
finish. It's everybody's problem.
Okay, right. But this is black people's problems because we keep voting, not me, but majority of blacks keep voting for Democrats. And like Donald Trump said, what do you have to lose? Everybody hops on Donald Trump for a tweet about the reality of what's going on in Chicago.
That
this woman, let me just really quickly.
He said, what do you have to lose?
What is
sad? But he didn't say what you would gain.
Ms. Hartman, you're going to gain.
Can I jump in here, ladies, if I may? Let me just
all of these candidates are making promises, but they are not telling us what they would exactly do.
So stop. Hold on 1 second. Let me go through a couple of things, a couple of policies, and we can talk about them for a couple of minutes. The policies that Donald Trump has proposed. School choice. He's tough on crime. He's pro-law enforcement. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, is against school choice. She's in favor of keeping the status quo, protecting the teachers' unions, correct? And also, as far as she's not tough on crime. She's not pro-law enforcement. So, Mrs. Hartman, let me ask you.
Donald Trump is not tough on crime. Donald Trump is erratic. He's ill-equipped to be commander-in-chief. He traffics in prejudice. He's racist. He incites violence. He tells the Russians to hack an American politician's email. His business career is checkered. He had about 5 or 6 bankruptcies, deferments from the military. He isn't leveling with the American people. He's lying. He's totally lying. So I totally disagree with that guy, with him, recklessly, of course. In the Republican convention, Trump invited Russian hackers to interfere with American election by releasing Hillary Clinton's emails. And he raised the prospect of a Second Amendment preventing Democrat nominee from appointing a liberal justice. It's hard to imagine. I think twice he's incited violence against Clinton. There's no doubt about it. It's hard to imagine 2 or more irresponsible statements from one presidential candidate. He has coerced national dialogue. Ever imagine that a presidential candidate would discuss of his genitalia during a national televised Republican debate? And he also says some woman eating from wherever. He is something like one who avoided service in the military with criticism of Gold Star parents who neither did we ever imagine using your candidate mock of this Trump inability. Criticism raises the specter of a president who, like Richard Nixon, would create enemies list and be consumed with getting even with his critics. That's Donald Trump. In a nutshell, I can't say it any better. And also, he is a serial less trustworthy than Trump. He is not even a close contest. Trump is owned when it comes to quality and quantity of his statements, such as his assertion that he was always against the Iraq war. Trump's reaction is to use a bigger lie technique of repeating it so that people begin to believe it. That's Trump. I mean, that is this guy. He is totally unfit. And by him being totally unfit, and he could still win this thing because there's so many people out there who are disenchanted with Hillary Clinton. and this could happen, folks. It's not far-fetched, but as the USA Today paper, obviously the paper is endorsing Hillary Clinton. There's no doubt about that. And it goes on and on and on. And I want to say, get out there and vote. Vote your conscience. Vote whoever you want to vote for. But the polls is saying that Hillary is going to take this thing. Trump is totally unfit. He is. I mean, even some of the Republicans are running away from him. And what gets me is so many people get on television trying to say that Trump may not be articulate. He may not be knowledgeable. He may not know how to put things in a statesman's like way, but he will make a great president. Give me a break. We've seen him on stage for the last year and a half, 2 years, and Trump has always been Trump. And he's got endorsements, but an endorsement from one group of or one individual does not say that this person is going to be in the White House. Endorsements are just endorsements. You know, I can endorse Trump. I can endorse Clinton. You know, it's just one vote. It's just one vote. And this is a presidential race to watch. This is one, folks, this is one of three books. And it will be in the history books. And Obama actually is trying, I guess. He's going to be out in in January 13th. He's going to be out of office, and right now, the only thing Obama is thinking about beside the recent ride, he's thinking about how to solidify his legacy. Meaning, what will we say about him once he's out of office? Once he's no more president of the United States? He wants to do something great, something better, so he can go out down in history. And so, he did this, did that. Even Obama himself have said that he brought people together. And I wished he could have brought together, you know, but it just didn't work out for him. Right now, he's just sitting on his laurels, waiting to leave office. And once he's gone, he's gone. And one of the things I know for a fact, I will never ever see another African-American president, a full-blooded president, African-American president again, not in our lifetime, maybe not in your lifetime, my lifetime, at least not someone who is level-headed anyway. And it's a shame. And some people say Barack Obama messed it up for another black person to be president. I don't know if that's true. It could be, maybe not. But, you know, so I don't know. He's trying to solidify his legacy. And I don't see what his legacy is. But bringing the country back from a brink in 2008, 2009, that's played out. That's played out. That he should have more to accomplish than that, but he doesn't. The only thing I can see Obama has accomplished is golf with the rich people on Martha's Vineyard. But he has high approval ratings. Obama has very, very high approval ratings. I don't know why. I guess people love his smile or something, because he sure had people like his smile. But, you know. All right. We, like I said before, we have to think about this election that's coming up in November, and we have to get out there and vote, people. It is dire.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man
struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who's a crawl.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Okay, we got about, a minute or so left into the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for downloading the show, downloading my ebooks on Amazon Fiction. Stuff is made up, but it's some good stuff I've heard. And we're going to take... We will be off for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but we will be right back here on Monday. We're taking a hiatus, a few days off to get some things done. But we will be right back. The show is always on from Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're off. And I hope you guys can join me then. All righty, thanks for listening, and thanks for being here, and I hope you join me on Monday. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks a lot.